right, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Titus. The book of Titus. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn several places today. If you have a phone, I hope you're good with your phone app. Otherwise, we'll kind of stay things together. Your handout is loose today. That's not because of lack of planning or anything of that sort. I was here till late last night. I got up super early this morning with the intention of really laying out, because I was like, man, I just don't, there was so many things that I wanted to put on the handout. And then this morning I was like, the more I studied, I just wanted it to be loose enough that you could pay attention and not be writing so much. And at the same time, write what the Lord wants you to write. Now, that's not to mean that when we have handouts and you fill them in, the Lord didn't want you to do that. We control that. No, there was just so much that I wanted to make emphasis of today. I just thought you write it down as the Lord instructs you to do that. Otherwise, we would have had quite a healthy handout today. And knowing we had baptism and all the rest of that, I wanted to try to condense some things. That said, we are introducing today a series. Really, we're going to preach through the book of Titus. We call it a series because we're going to kind of stay on that ground. For those who know, we were preaching through the book of Leviticus. We will pick that back up when we finish Titus. But right now, with all the Lord, what the Lord has been doing in our church, the emphasis at the beginning of the month on filled with the Spirit of God, and then of course last week in our revealing of our theme and trying to keep that active before us in the all in. I just felt like I have for a long time, just felt like that we ought to visit this little New Testament book, if we want to call it that, over here by the name of one to Titus, Paul, the epistle, I'm sure yours says, the epistle of Paul to Titus, a letter that Paul wrote to one of his boys. Now, when I say his boys, he was a son in the faith, but I mean Titus was somebody in Paul's world. Now, today I'm not going to preach on 1-4. Really, what I want to do today is introduce the book to you, introduce the series to you, introduce Titus to you, maybe tell you some things about that. I'm even going to leave some things out there to kind of just touch on next week. I was telling Brad Draghi, who for some reason was at my house last night with my daughter, but at the same time I was telling him last evening, he was like, so are you ready? You know, we're talking. And I said, you know, man, honestly, I'm already so pumped about next week that's been my problem, is just trying to, okay, let's let next week be next week, because really it's the first four verses of the book. But I think verse 5 is kind of sets the tone for the theme of all of the letter to Titus, the heart behind why Paul sent it to him. I think it will help us today to kind of take that thing. So when I say I'm doing an overview of Titus today, I'm not doing an overview of the entire book. I'm going to try to do an introduction to why we're doing what we're doing. Are y'all tracking with me there? And yet it'll be more than an intro. It'll be a message in and of itself, but I'm just going to focus on verse 5. Next week we'll come back, we'll do 1-4. We'll then skip 5 because we talked about it, and we'll pick back up and we'll go through that through this letter. But I hope that today at least you'll see a little bit of why we're doing what we're doing. If you want that today's message title there, then it would be this: the way of molding. The way of molding. You can see the title that I put up there for this series is called Molded. Molded. For definition's sake, I put a place on there for you to be able to fill that in. You're grown people. I don't think you need me to necessarily Google anything you couldn't Google, but just in case you're wanting that or some little aspect of what we're talking about here, to mold or molded or molding, as it would be as the application we're putting for this series, is to give shape to fashion, to, I'm just going to read off some of these, to form, if you will. It is not only in that regard to give shape to something or someone, but it is to do that by influence, and that influence be that which forms. In fact, even Webster would define it as influencing the formation of, the development of something or someone. And so we get it, all right? So molded, okay? There's a mold. We're trying to shape. If you had clay and you were trying to mold it, you already see what you want it to be. And so you're you're molding it. And I've often used the illustration about clay, because we are an example in the scripture about clay, with God being the potter and we being the clay, and how it is, if you've ever watched a potter work on his wheel, man, he's at this particular place, he's above that clay, and he's working on it. And they call the center of that little of whatever it is you're forming as a vessel, they call that the heart. And of course, the only one who can see the heart is that potter who's above that clay, right? And how many of y'all know, if you ever dealt with clay, even if you got to go back to like the fifth grade to remember that memory, right? In art class, hello, or six, maybe it was at Lindley, but nonetheless, and you've pushed that stuff down and form it, and sometimes it can harden, right? And this does not want to respond to your influence on it, of what you're doing. Look, I'm trying to make you look good here. I'm trying to do something, but it just does not want to reciprocate. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so yeah, sometimes you got to beat that clay down, and you got to push on it and put pressure on it. Are y'all with me? And then what you were instructed to do was take a little bit of water and put the water, because if the water will make its way to the clay, then all of a sudden the clay becomes more pliable, right? And of course, we understand that the scripture is called the water of the word, right? And so as we apply more word, then what it should do is it should make us more pliable to what the potter wants in our life. So molded is the ultimate title for the series. I won't visit every week. I may sometimes when we alliterate, we get a little stupid, and I may try to include mold in some kind of part of the title every week, but nonetheless, just wanted to introduce that to you, because that's what's happening. Here's what I love about Paul's relationship with Titus. It wasn't that he, now by the way, Titus was a disciple of Paul, just like Timothy was a disciple of Paul, just like Onesimus, remember when we went through the book of Philemon, just like Onesimus was a disciple of Paul at one time in his life. And so but Titus and Tim, I get it, they get the highlights, man, they get the props. And but Titus was indeed that. And here's what I love: when you read this letter, or when we get towards the end of it, you'll see here's it wasn't that he just invested in him front end, put him out there, tacked him on the bottom, and said, all right, now go get it. No, even this letter is proof to us that discipleship doesn't end. Are you with me? Listen, when you're investing in someone's life, it continues. It goes on. It doesn't end with a, let me make application to this. It doesn't end when you finish the last book in the discipleship material. It doesn't end in just a season. It's life on life for as long as life allows. And you'll see that, Titus greatly used of God, but Paul was always molding him, always investing in him, always, putting a little more water onto his life, reminding him of this, doing this, and always caring about how God was using him or was not, and what it would be that his life, trying to look out for him. You see, man, such an affinity, man. I mean, Paul was a busy guy. Anybody think that? And Titus was kind of busy himself, but never too busy to invest in one another for the work of the Lord's sake. Listen, Titus was quite somebody in Paul's life, and Paul had some people who meant some things to him. But when you read about Titus and his, and maybe you hadn't, I know, again, I've preached through 2 Timothy, it's online, but man, when you read about Titus's relationship, Titus's name is included. Ironically, it's not in the book of Acts, although we know that he was a part of that world, because he's included all over Paul's other letters. Titus was a Gentile. That's saying something, by the way, because Paul, as you know, was, some kind of rabbi Jew, right? I mean, he had been studying under the mastery of Gamaliel, and if you go through the history of all that, I'll save it to you. But man, to be under him and to be chosen under him, as a Jew, the memorization that you had to have and the dedication, you had probably been selected for that, or either working towards that from even a young age, and yet here's the great Paul who had studied under that. Now he's going to pick a Gentile to pour his life into. And by the way, that was questioned. We have a book by the name of Galatians that talks about how legalism is not of God. And Paul is looking at these people, asking them, why are you trying to impose your Jewishness on these situations? And one of the examples that he uses is Titus. Don't you know, when he chose to invest in Titus, that people would be raising an eyebrow towards him. Look at all those you could invest in. Listen, the Lord is no respecter of persons. I'm glad that we should not be either. Amen? A life is a life and the opportunity to invest in that. But Titus was one who Paul was able to use as that example. I have a few verses on the screen right here. They'll go very quickly. If you just want to write them down, you can do it. I just wanted to make reference to it to show you Titus's role or a little bit of Titus's role in Paul's life. You can see verses like 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 6 where Paul is talking. Paul is making reference, man, of how he was comforted by the coming of Titus. Anybody know what it's like just to have somebody around you that just comforts you? I know they're making their way in. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the fellowship that you're going to have or what you may need. But you're just comforted knowing you're going to get to chill with them for just a little while. Anybody know what I mean? I want to be that kind of friend. I want to be that kind of disciple and discipler. And certainly we see that kind of influence. You'll see it again in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceeding the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. And that reminded me of the influence that we can all have. Here's Titus, man, he's been refreshed by other people, and then he's just so overjoyed, he comes over here and he refreshes Paul. There's part of the comfort that he got because of the joy that he got from other people, man. Hey, Paul, guess what? This thing's working. Listen, and he's testifying of people who were buying into that which the Lord was using them to invest. Verses like 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 23, you want to talk about the influence and how much Paul and Titus meant to one another? Paul called Titus his partner and fellow helper. Yeah, Titus may not get a lot of props in a lot of circles, and I realize it's a very small book, but Titus meant something to Paul. And you can bet if he meant something to Paul, a lot of Paul's actions and a lot of Paul's creds that he got, somewhere in the background was Titus, who was maybe holding him up, helping him do some things. Are you understanding? And at the end of the day, ultimately God gets the glory, because when we work together, that's the way it should work. And so you see that he had that kind of influence on him. I think of verses like 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. And I want you to hang on to this verse. Now, if you didn't write down any other ones, do write this down, because it has application of what I'm talking about. But how Paul says, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. And he's asking this question, and I almost wanted to set up this whole text of what's happening there in 2 Corinthians. I have preached through 2 Corinthians. For those of you who are here, you would know that, but I won't take the time to do that because I don't want to get sidetracked. But I do like this little statement that he's saying to them. Speaking to the Corinth church, he's saying, look, walked we not in the same spirit? I mean, you do know me and Titus, we speak the same thing, have the same mind, have the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Are y'all trying? Hey, did we not walk in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Now, that is quite confident, because that's not Titus saying, I walk in the same steps. That's Paul speaking confidently about Titus to somebody else, saying, I guarantee you, that boy's walking like I'm walking. Oh, you can question him. No, he wouldn't have said that. He'd have said this. You know what? He's my disciple. Are we understanding all that? Are we connecting? Right? That's a very interesting verse there, and a very key verse about that. Now, I'm mentioning the word of disciple a lot, and you may be going, hey man, is this a discipleship series? No, I'm going to preach through the book of Titus. However, we can't get away from the fact that indeed Paul discipled Titus. And this letter, I'll set it up in a minute, I'll give you the verse and tie a bow. But at the end of the day, what's happening here is that Paul is writing a letter to Titus, concerned about some of the things that Titus is about to get. He's giving him an assignment, and then he knows some of the opposition he's going to face, and so he's trying to say, hey, Titus, now look. And he gives him in this letter, hey, look, I'm checking out. You need to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this. But look, when this happens, this is what you need to do. And when this happens, this is what you need to do. And these people are known for doing this, so they're going to do it to you. That's looking out for his disciple, right? He wasn't going to sit back, let me just see if he learned anything. Wait till he falls so I can pick him up. No, he cared enough. He saw the direction he was going and said, listen, I want to get ahead of you. I want to make sure. Now, aren't we glad that Titus wasn't too proud to receive the information? Are y'all with me? Josh, I don't know where it's at up there, but it's Revelation when you look at it. Here's one of the dangers of this day. This shows you how off the hip I am. I'm not going by the script of the PowerPoint, but we'll come back. Look, what Paul says this, and this is not on the handout, but Paul wrote a letter to his other disciple there. He writes it to Timothy, and he says to Tim, he says, you know, in the last days, man, I mean, it's going to be perilous times, right? Perils. I mean, dangers. And amongst men, I mean, the very first thing he mentions, and this church should know that. I mean, look, the peril of perils, which there's what, how many are there? 19 right there or something like that? There's a lot of them. And some of them you would go, oh, yeah, man, that's a peril. Oh, yeah, that's a peril. But how about this one? At the very top, he starts and he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. One of the greatest perils to Christianity in the last day. Oh, we got truce breakers in there. We got all these other things going on amongst those sentences that we could all say we see out in this day. But he said, look, none of this is happening if people don't love themselves so much. One of the perils in the last days is that men are going to be lovers. Women are going to be lovers of their own selves. They love them, some of them. And I think to myself, the threat that is to discipleship. It is why some people won't submit to discipleship. I just use the word submit. It's why they don't like the word submit. Are y'all with me? It's because I'm going to put myself on it. Well, who makes you that? Who died and made you? Right? I mean, look, I'm going to have to admit. I mean, I love myself. I'm going to have to admit I don't know something to be able to learn something. And I'm supposed to learn it from you? Do you know how long I've been saved, by the way? I don't know. If you've been, you should be discipling then, right? Are y'all tracking with me? And so one of the problems is to pour into somebody and somebody be willing to be poured into. What you'll never find is Titus going, hey, Paul, I got this, man. Back off. I'm doing this now. I'm over here. I'm pastoring. You're busy. You're in jail. Can you leave me alone for a minute? I don't want to be there. Are y'all with me? Listen, you're never too good to learn. I'm never too good to learn. I constantly open my life up to other people, even to this day, to pour into, and thank God I do, because I'm ever learning. I'm ever learning. I mean, I need to continue to be molded. By the way, for His glory, and as your pastor, even for your good. Amen? You're going, well, who pours into you, brother? We'd like to send them some notes and help, you know, there's some areas you need molded maybe you don't know about. I got it. You were you. I do. We all right. But this area, this thing, Revelation has it there, says there, you can see where the problem in these last days, speaking to the church of Laodicea, which is about the rights of the people, that should say something, these last days church. And he says, look, I know you're neither cold nor hot. You're not all in. You're a fence rider. You just won't be. Why? Because you love your own self. You're neither cold nor hot, man. You're lukewarm. It just makes me want to spew. Why? Because you say you're rich. You say you're increased with goods. You have need of nothing, and you know not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And we could break down each one of them, and we could even expound upon them. You need something in your life. None of us will have arrived until we arrive there. Amen? Humility, humbleness. God gives grace to the humble. He resists death. There's your King's language. The proud, right? Before honor comes humility. Titus has there's a book in the Lord 66 that has Titus's name on it. Before honor, he got it. Comes humility. He was willing to be a learner. Are y'all tracking with me, One Baptist? May we never be the example of those who will not learn, who will not take instruction, who cannot just be taught without defending ourselves or talking back or coming up. Now, can we just receive instruction? Amen? And thank God when someone gives it, whether it is on a personal basis of one-on-one discipleship, whether it's from a pulpit setting like this, as we give instruction from the Word of God, whether it be in a small group setting, or maybe it's just a friend who you're having lunch with that just cares enough to speak the truth in love and say, listen, man, I hope you wouldn't get mad at me about this. You understand this is way harder for me to say. But look, I've been noticing this in your life, dude. That ain't you. You don't want that to be you. you know, sis, man, this is this. You know what normally, you know why people won't get involved? I think it's a missing ingredient in the church, man, is accountability. And you know why people won't get involved to that level in people's lives? Why? At least you say yes, why? No. You know why? You know what? Because here's why we don't want to pay the price of that. In case they don't respond well, well, they're liable to not talk to me anymore. Well, that's on them, not you. You know the motive of your heart. I'm not talking about being all proud and judgmental and the rest of that, because you know what typically happens sometimes? This is what legalism does, by the way, is as soon as you point out something, they want to point out something. Well, let me tell you about you. Well, that's fine. Tell me about me, but can we go back to what I was talking to you about? Okay, I'll accept mine. Can you accept yours? We need to constantly be used in each other's life, molding one another. Yes, this is going to have a lot of disciple-making information, instruction, especially on the front end of this series. Because that's, you can't get away from it. That's what Paul was doing with Titus. And he's instructing Titus, by the way, to do the same in other people. And telling him to tell those other people to do the same in their other people. You can't get away from it. Can we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Paul, who wrote Corinthians? Listen. It says in verse 58, Paul wrote this. By the way, he practiced what he preached. He says, therefore, my beloved. By the way, the therefore, I can't go into it, but you know, he just talked about the victory and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anybody happy that he resurrected? Anybody happy that the resurrected Jesus lives inside of you if you have called upon the name of the Lord by repentance for salvation? Hello, there's a victory. And right after that, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, sets it up very soft. My beloved, look, be ye. And he starts describing some ways they're supposed to be about something. So let's figure out the something. The something right there is the work of the Lord. This church knows. We've compared Scripture with Scripture before. We understand. A lot of people can color up and call a lot of things the work of the Lord. But the Bible calls the work of the Lord the work that the Lord did when he was on this earth. Amen. And what he did was he made disciples. He made the word of God known. And then he poured into those who would receive that, he poured into them more of that word to grow them up so that they could be sent out to do the same thing. His mission is ours. Nothing has changed. And Paul's echoing it and saying, listen, don't just know it's there, but be steadfast about it. Be unmovable. How many of y'all know what unmovable is? It means to not move. Unmovable. I'm planted on this. You're not going to, no, I'm right here. I'm going to be about making this. I'm going to be about win, build, sin. I'm going to be about winning people to the Lord, giving them the gospel. How many of you passed out your tracts? I'm going to give out the gospel. It's why we're here. I'm gonna exercise the opportunity to witness to somebody. And if the Lord will allow that seed to germinate and them receive it, man, I'm gonna take interest in them. Hey, I won them to the Lord. I get it that he's the soul winner, but the scripture says in the Old Testament of Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. We're just a tool. He's the soul winner, but God, look, he ain't here. Well, he is in his body. Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? And so here we are, be steadfast, unmovable. I'm going to be about this. My whole life somehow is going to be about this. Unmovable. Oh, and not hit and miss, man. Always abounding. I mean, man, it's overflowing, no question, man. I'm all in. By the way, it would say on there, if he hadn't moved from the slide, it would say at the very end, it'd say, your labor, because it is going to require work. Your labor. How many of y'all know we're going to work at a lot of things? We're going to put labor into a lot of things that at the judgment seat of Christ ain't going to matter for squat. Boy, you can tell what county I live in with the way hearing me preach, can't you? I'm glad to be back home. All right. Look, it ain't going to matter for squat, man. Jack squat, whatever that is, it's not going to matter. And don't we want it to? Hello? Hello? Oh, don't we want it to? Is this, yeah, it's on. Don't we want it to? All this labor, all these things we put ourselves to, we give ourselves to, we throw our money at, and I said, that's not going to matter at the judgment seat of Christ, but the work of the Lord will. Not a minute of time will not be worth it. Even the failures in the efforts of such. Because at least you were by virtue obedient to what the Lord wanted. Are y'all tracking with me right here? Okay, listen. This letter that Paul wrote about Titus, man. I mean, he's giving him these things. I was going to go into all the information that he kind of was covering through there. I won't. I'll kind of save that maybe the next week of some of the highlights. But again, there was things happening that he was going to need to know about. And he's trying to pour into him and tell him, hey, look, man, watch out for these things. I'm going ahead of you. I want to help you. Again, I just get juiced over the fact that he didn't stop pouring into his guy. He didn't stop. I mean, man, he could. Dude, you got this. I was on the phone late last night with one David Goodson, the one who pastors our church up in North Carolina. And he's, hey, Pastor, I got this situation, and I'm talking. And you know, I couldn't not take that call. This is my guy. He's got a situation. Hey, man, sure, let me hear it. Maybe I've went through it. Maybe we can get some counsel. Maybe we can go to the Word of God together, and we can find out this answer. And man, I encouraged him this morning. Hey, dude, man, I've still been praying fervently on it. I'm excited. Look, I'm about to come preach, but I'm still rooting for my guy. Are y'all tracking with me? And we gave some further instruction. By the way, nothing bad's happening. It's just some people are getting saved. Some people need baptized, and other people in those families are coming against them. You don't need to be bad. That church is trying to control you. He's trying to show you what the Bible says, you know, and that kind of thing. He goes, man, I've never seen anything like this. And Satan's just resisting these people from being obedient. And, you know, and I was like, dude, you know. And so here we are. But the point is, guys, we've got to make time. And Paul continued to invest in him. When are you going to read the verse, Billy, right now? Here we are, verse 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, the things that are lacking, missing, the things that need to be done, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So, if you're writing this down, the theme is exactly that. Set in order what is lacking. You can put wanting if that's what you want to do. And then he follows that by saying, reproducing yourself in others. How am I going to set things in order? By reproducing yourself in others. Well, how am I supposed to reproduce myself in others? By setting things in order. Right? Here's the round robin. Okay. Three chapters, 46 verses, 896 words, 921 if you want to count the little intro and the backside of the Titus where it talks about some things. But at the end of the day, this very small book gives us a snapshot of his heart with his guy. He always does. He does begin, and I'll get into this next week just so I can set it up. Look, there are three relationships that are meaningful to you, whether you want to admit it or not. Paul always opens his letters addressing them. Next week, we will address them, so I won't preach that this week, but let me encourage you to be here, and let me encourage you to invite some other people. In fact, let me encourage you to invite some people that don't know Jesus, will you? You can do that. Paul, he's a good disciple of Jesus Christ, and certainly his was unusual way of coming to know the Lord, and certainly an unusual way of being grown up, and we could visit that. We did in the last message of the field as we went to the book of Acts, and we saw, you remember the guy who was assigned to him, hey, you go help this guy, and he's like, this guy's going to kill me. He kills other people. No, I got it handled. Go there. So obviously he was grown up, and he's obviously got a good testimony of being a disciple of Christ. But then you have Titus. Again, that Titus, that Gentile disciple of his. He's a very good disciple maker himself. Here you learn, you see in that particular verse where Paul leaves him in Crete. Crete is a large island south of Greece in the Mediterranean, and it certainly Paul had been there. You see that because he says, I left thee in Crete. And so it seems at this point Paul is going to, whether he had to go, whether he's been rushed out or whatever it is, we do know he's moved on, and he's left Titus there to do what he tells him to do in verse 5. I want you to do this. Now listen. And in verse 5, what you'll see was to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's ultimately what he's saying. Because listen, I want to get, it never got away from that for them. That was their mission. That's why somewhere in some letter of Paul, he's either encouraging a disciple, he's encouraging discipleship, he's instructing about how it to be done, or he is correcting those who should know better. It's always the same. The mission never changed. That was the mission. That is the mission. Amen? It's the mission today. So they never got away from it. And you'll see it all over if you look for it in any of those writings. And so ultimately it boils down to making disciples. And he says, listen, set in order the things that are lacking, are wanting. Reproduce yourself in those people and instructing them to do the same thing the same way. That's what is happening if you're really making a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're setting in order something that is lacking in their life. You're working to reproduce yourself in that individual, which certainly draws you into examination to make sure. I mean, look, nothing checks me more, man, than to know. I mean, when I'm studying for discipleship and I'm going to pour into Damien and I'm pouring into Kevin right now, those are the two who I'm discipling here. And if I'm doing that, man, I mean, nothing checks me to make sure when I'm reading, hey, what part of this is not a part of me? I don't want to be a hypocrite to this. I mean, man, God uses the word to mold me before I start molding them. Because ultimately the molder is who? It's him, right? And so you see it, and it certainly you see it here with what's going on in their life. That's what's happening. Again, he's setting in order that. It's what discipleship is about, setting in order someone's life. And yet I remind you, we aren't called. Maybe this is a write-it-down statement you'd like to write down. We aren't called to do discipleship. We're commanded to make disciples. There's a world of difference. At this church, you know, we meet on Wednesday nights. Anybody who would like to pour their life into someone else or have someone pour theirs into theirs, we meet on Wednesday night here. We tell you you can do it anywhere. You don't have to meet here on Wednesday night, but because we have Awana with the kids, we have One Youth on the Hill for the middle through high school, it allows you to have someone. We have a nursery, our little ones. It allows you to have someone watching yours while somebody's investing in you. And so the setting works good so that you're not torn away from your spouse and all the rest of that trying to be a disciple. But certainly some people choose to do that off campus as well, and that's cool. That's fine. The work of the Lord is what's important, and that being done. But I want to make sure doing discipleship and checking the calendar and saying, okay, I met over there at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night and I'm done. Okay, that is doing discipleship, but that's not going to make a disciple. That's not in and of itself. That's not in and of itself gonna work. Yeah, certainly you need to meet. You need to find time to meet around the Word of God. But discipleship is so much bigger than that. We talked about that, and it's such an emphasis. Again, both are required. Set in order things that are lacking, and reproduce yourself into those people. Man, you fill that void with what you know should be there, based on what you know should be there in you. How did you fill that void? How did God mold you? And you pour that into someone else. We're not making robots. We're making Bible believers. We're making disciples, right? And so I want you to get it. Again, that is the theme. As I said, it's the theme. That's the purpose is what fueled this letter to Titus, was to continue to mold him, to continue to pour into him, and to taunt him. He lays it out there. I need you to do these two things. And then the rest of the letter is to talk about all that was necessary that was going to contribute toward those things being done. But he said, look, I need you to do those things. So I just want to take those instructions and tie something around it. And I think you'll get something out of it. But I want to make sure you get it. Again, first and foremost, we got to understand if we are really going to be about disciple making, and certainly all of us should be giving our lives towards that in some capacity, pouring your life into another person, no matter where you do it or how you do it, whether they're a member here or not. Then part of our job is indeed to find out what is lacking, to find out what is it that's not in their world, and to fill that void. Be bold to have those conversations. All of that cannot be found, nor can it be done just by going through a lesson on a Wednesday night, even though those lessons are awesome, and they will reveal some things, they'll see some things that are void. But look, it's not going to happen just like that. It's not going to happen just by going through a book. Are you hearing me? It's not going to happen by just keeping an appointment. No, it comes from time spent and prayers sent. Time in the Word together, time in the world together. Are you understanding? So you can see how they act and they respond act or react to adversity in their lives. And you can say, hey, there's something lacking there. So I want to help them know how to deal with that adversity. See, if all I'm talking about is that letter or that lesson that I have in front of me, and again, none of this is diminishing the lessons. You know better than that. They're awesome and they're needed in life. It's basic Christianity 101 and everybody needs it. Most people hadn't stepped to the plate of that. But the reality is we got to find out, man. I got to know. I can't just know about Kevin in my office going through some books. I got to know, hey, that's why I have the conversation. So tell me what's been going on, man. I want to have that freedom where he can call me. At any time, he can discuss, dude, I'm facing this. What's going on with this? Man, hey, I got this going on. Are you seeing me? Are y'all hearing what I'm talking about? So that we can know how to pour into. And so I want to challenge everybody here who does have the title discipler. Step it up, man. Step it up. It ain't just done in this barn. Are you hearing me? Discipleship is life on life, and life happens more than just Wednesday at 7 o'clock in this place. Oh, man. I mean, I'm already so busy. It's for the Lord's work. Oh, man, it's going to be tough, man. I'm going to have to talk about some things. I know ministry is messy, but don't be a coward. Don't be worried that they're going to talk about you if you try to help them. Don't be a coward. Be a discipler. Care for them. Invest in them. Pour into them. And may I ever say this to the disciples in this room, be willing, be open for that to happen. I want you to again to note that Titus was not told to take anybody through a program in and of itself. No, he's talked, as you go into this, he's told to show, to display life. And that's what discipleship really is all about. You never outgrow the need for that. And again, he's telling him to strengthen. He's taking him. He's giving him instruction. He said, look, there's some churches out there that need, man, they need leaders. That's where you're going to get to the back end of that thing. They need leaders. And listen, they need to be strengthened. They need to be established. These young churches do amongst this island. And so he's telling him what to look out for and what to not do along that way. Tools, y'all, are great in discipleship. And our discipleship lessons, I think, are some of the best. But tools in and of themselves don't make disciples. You do. Are we okay with this? Why is this quiet? Are we okay with this? You do. You do. Now, let me take this and let me kind of move away from that. That wasn't an intro per se, but I want you to grab this. I don't think I have it on the screen. I meant to put it on there, but just write this down or you just know this. Many of you would know. That the word Christian. So here he is. Paul's getting this letter. He's giving this letter to Titus. He's telling him about how it is and what it is that needs to be happening amongst this disciple making mechanism called the church, and how to pour into people and the things to look out to while you're pouring, and look out for this and watch out for that, and here's how you deal with that and all the rest of that. So that's what's happening. But really, what you'll start seeing here is if you were to say, well, okay, well, how can I do that? How can I know how to fill the void? How can I be used for that? And that's where I'm going to kind of veer in the message and lay a new emphasis, and we'll pick up on the rest of that stuff next week when we introduce the book. But let me talk to you about the Christian life for just a second. A lot of turning right here, but I promise when we're done, we'll be done. The Christian life. Many of you know it's Acts chapter 11. You remember that? It's Acts chapter 11. Don't go there, but it's Acts chapter 11 where the word Christian first appears. How many of you know that to be true? All right, it does. They were first called Christians, right? There at Antioch. And Antioch of Syria, and of course we talked about before, it was there, it says, that believers were called Christians. It means little Christ. It was not a complimentary term at first given. It was almost used in a mocking way. It was, however, a very appropriate word. I mean, those who looked like, they walked like, they talked like, they were about this Jesus Christ business. Yeah, I want that label. Anybody okay with that? I'm okay to be tagged with that. But do understand the word Christian, as me and you know it, and the reason I'm saying it is because today we say save people while they are what? Christians, right? And so just know, though, that's almost too easy a word to get out of. Even though we understand a little Christ, well, I'm not Christ and all that, so we can kind of back out of it, and yet, you know, I am a Christian. I believe on Jesus, although that doesn't necessarily mean that you just believe on him. It means that your ways are his. Oh, wait a minute, I just used a word, way. Today's message, the way of molding. It's not just carrying them through material, it's showing them the way of the material. because the material is just the word. And if they're watching the word in action in your life, hey man, look, I know how you just react. Look, I get that. I mean, y'all, it is constant instruction. Isn't it amazing how we do? So we win somebody to Christ, you know, we tap them on the butt and we say, hey, go on about your business and you can live for Jesus, right? We don't want to give them any instruction. But you wouldn't hire somebody who don't know nothing about your business, walk in there, hand them a piece of your equipment, say, all right, go do it, man. No, you're going, no. No, man, no, they will mess stuff up. And don't you know the God in heaven saying, hey, don't just let them do their thing. They're going to mess stuff up. Well, what could they possibly mess up? They can misrepresent him. I mean, isn't it as important? Isn't discipleship as important as orientation on the job? And by the way, most new believers really do want to know how. It's only later on that they grow all callous and think they know everything. No, at the front end, they want to know. Hey, if you're at this church, you can know. We want you to know. God wants you to know. We want to pour into you, man. I want it to be that you can be used immediately for God's glory by yielding to his word and adding virtue to whatever part you understand in your life and then gain more knowledge from there. So certainly we desire that. But it was in Acts chapter 11 where they were first called Christians, which then begs the question, or at least it does for this message because I'm asking it. It then begs the question, okay, well, what were they then called before that? Because, y'all, really, Acts 11 takes place years after the church began there in Acts chapter 2. Up to that time, they were called this. Maybe you want to write it down. Up to that time, they were called followers of the way. Or followers of that way. That's what they were called. And y'all, that's no small thing, you see, because that's what all disciples should be. It's what all of us should be. It's what all saved people should be, is followers of the way. Am I right about that? Listen, it makes sense then that it's by the way that disciples should be made. Hence, the way of molding. Don't just teach me about something. Don't just teach me about the way. Show me the way. Are y'all tracking right there? I'm a lot better, man. Look, put a gun in my hand and want to teach me that particular weapon. Put a bait on the end of a fishing line, man, and talk to me about how that thing undulates under the water and the rest of that. I can't wait for fishing season to get back here. But a lot of things, man. I mean, when baseball, I don't get all my boys in the dugout. I don't say, now, here's what's going to happen. They're going to throw the ball, and it's probably going to a location similar to this and maybe to this. And what you need to do, no, you know what I do? I get them out there, man. Hey, come here. Sometimes I'll put my arm. All right, look, here's what we're going to do. Look, you got to step. You see that head's got to hit. If you pull that head, your whole body pulls. If you hit it, it's going to go the other way. No, you got to step. Where that step goes, your head's got to stay down. When your head stays down, I'll work with some of y'all after the service. But the point is, they're a lot better with a bat in their hand watching me and then doing it with me. Are y'all understanding? They learn. That's what we do in here. It's why we need Link Group. So we can do things together. And we learn. We do life together. It's why we need discipleship. It's why we need a local church. It's why we need to be active one and another. Turn to these places for me real quick. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. You learning something? Say amen. Ephesians 5, I missed y'all. Verse 1. Paul said this, just so you know that he hadn't lost his mind with the rest of this stuff. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, be ye therefore followers of, what does it say? God. As dear children. And then he gives them instruction about what following God would look like. Hey, walk in love. I mean, right? Hey, don't have fornication, uncleanness, don't covetous, all that stuff. You become saints, all that stuff. Okay, so he goes there. But he says, be followers of God. So just know that's what the man said. Now, turn to your right, to 1 Corinthians, or to your left. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Work with me here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Is there a 16 in 1 Corinthians 4? Yeah. Wherefore I beseech you, I'm begging you, be ye followers of God. Is that what it says? No. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. What does it say? Be ye followers of, if you got it, say it out loud. Me. Okay, which one is it? Yes. Paul was able to say, hey, follow me, and you'll be following God. Not because he is God. That's why I wanted to show you faith. He understands who God is. He's comfortable with that, but he's also comfortable in his calling, in his commission, in the work of the Lord. Hey, look, follow God. But it's one thing for me to say, hey, boys, get in there and hit that ball. Or it's another thing for me to get up there and teach them how to hit that ball. Are we together? Are we getting it? Follow me. And by the way, I'm liable to stumble along the way here. You ever led somebody through the woods? You're the lead man. You go through there and you trip. And you go, whoa. Hey, watch out. There's a hole right there. Are y'all with me? Sometimes, man, they learn from watching. Sometimes you ain't even time to watch. Hey. Okay, wait a minute. That tripped you. I'm going to go around it. Are y'all connecting with this? Because I can preach to myself, wave a hanky and say amen. Are y'all getting it? That's life. That's what all of us want. And I want to take you out of it. I'm not talking about just if you are paired up with somebody as a discipleship and the rest of you going, well, I don't disciple, so this message isn't for me. First of all, everybody needs to be involved in it. I'm going to keep beating that drum. However, look, everything disciples. You are discipling somebody with your life every single day of your life, whether you're doing it here officially or not. It's not compartmentalized. Somebody at the workplace is watching you, and they're either learning to follow God or not. Right? By watching our way. Okay. All right. Here we go. Look at verse 17, by the way. I love it. Wherefore I beseech you, be a follower of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. How about that? Isn't that cool? Hey, I tell you what, look, I need you to follow me so you'll be following Christ. And I sent Tim, who's my disciple, I sent him so he can teach you my ways. Oh, y'all, that is beautiful to me. Because, look, here, Paul's not teaching. Timothy's going to teach you my ways, and him teaching you my ways is going to teach you his. Now, well, yeah, but that was the great Apostle Paul, bro. Well, the great Apostle Paul has the same commission as little old you and me. It's not different. We're all going to count at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Apostle Paul had the same Spirit of God that you and I've got. In fact, we've got this whole book, and the Apostle Paul didn't. Now check out of the responsibility. Hello? Are we together on that? Are we good? All right. Here we go. Watch now. Watch. Okay. Here's another. Turn over to Philippians. Philippians 2. Somewhere it's in there. Philippians is to your right. Philippians chapter 3. I didn't think I left it in Florida. Here it is. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Hey, follow me. Be remembered of me. And by the way, mark those who also did the same. And then he gives contrast to a walk that is contrary to the walking of his ways. I'll save you the time because it's my fault for skipping, but if you're writing it down, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, where Paul says again, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be careful whoever you're following. Make sure they're following Christ. There's a lot of voices that say, follow me. There's a lot of words that say, do mine. But it's not his. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Look to your right very quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We look there. Verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, because following us would be following the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9. How many are you going to do, Billy? This is the last one. 3 and verse 9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And I wanted you to see this, the very next verse. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. How about that? A discipler having the open door to command those who are following in their life. Hey, listen, man, you got to get busy with this. You got to do this. You've got to do this. Why? Because he cares. He's pouring into. I can't Mickey Mouse around this thing, no pun intended. I can't do that. I mean, hey, look, no, man, I can't. It's, look, if the word is right, then it's right. Just accept it. We all tiptoe around each other because we're scared to hurt it. You talk about snowflakes, and a lot of people are. We get offended at everything, man. Should not be in the body of Christ, okay? Turn to Acts chapter 9. You still with me? Say amen. We're learning something? Say amen. All right. Acts chapter 9. All right, very quickly. Let's expound upon this thing. Now, I said, don't just teach me about something. Show me the way. Don't just teach me about the way. Show me the way. You're in Acts. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 2. I said that before the word Christian took off, as it would be the way we receive it today, I actually dig this one a lot better because it's more reflective of such and very much more distinctive as such. But here was the way they were known. It was the way, following that way, or following the way. Here's proof of that. Acts 9 and verse 2. Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter. This is before Paul was Paul. He was Saul. And here's what he did. Religious, by the way. Religious Paul, ignorant of such, but as Saul, he was threatening, he slaughtered the disciples, how about that, went unto the high priest, don't you know later on when he needed some disciples around him, don't you know the devil reminded him of his past too? Anybody ever get reminded of your past from the devil to say God can't use you? I imagine Paul sometimes went into a city to plant a church, and I imagine the devil whispered in his ear, if you wouldn't have killed a bunch of people, you'd probably have some people here to help you. Yeah, Paul had to. Maybe that's why Paul said over in Philippians, he says, I have not apprehended, I have not gotten a hold of, but this one thing I do, and you take out the italicized right there, but I have not apprehended, but this one thing. What's the one thing you've gotten a hold of, Paul? I've got to forget those things which are behind and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. You ain't a thing you can do about this right here, but I can do something about this right here. Amen? Amen? All right, here we go. Back to this, Acts chapter 9, verse 2. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of, what's those two words? This way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. So he was looking. How would he spot those, what we would call Christians? How would he spot them? How would he find those who believed this thing about this person called Jesus? How would he spot them? If he found any of this way. They must have had a way about them. Look at Acts chapter 18. Flip to your right. You're looking a few pages to your right. Acts chapter 18, verse 26. We're hurrying. Look at 18 and verse 26. And he began to speak boldly. Now Paul is Paul, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, this is recorded in Acts, and of course, there are a lot of things happening right here. This particular place here is talking about one by the name of Apollos. Apollos, a contemporary in Paul's day, but Apollos, he was a brilliant man, by the way, a brilliant orator. But in verse 26, as you see that, Apollos had some knowledge of Scripture, but note, there was a way he didn't yet understand. There was the way he needed to have expounded unto him more perfectly in his development. So the way of discipleship must be more than just knowledge alone, huh? Because he had it, but he didn't. Look, you'll never have enough. He was developed in the way. Look at Acts chapter 19, the other page, verse 9. But when divers, or many, various, if you want to put that there, were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of what? That way. They spoke evil of that way. This is what Paul did when he was in the city of Ephesus. But notice, that way was noticeable. Please, maybe write this down in your margin there. That way was noticeable not only to others of the same way, but others who were not of that way. They were against it, but they knew how to spot it. There must have been a way about those people. There was a way that was different from theirs. I hope that sits in on your ears. Are you hearing me? There was a way that was different than those who were against the cause. Verse 23 of chapter 18. Is that fair for me to do? Is that right? That's not right. I know I wrote it down right there. Verse 23. Here we go. It's of chapter 19. Let me make a little note. It's in chapter 19, verse 23. And the same time there arose no small stir about what? that way. Again, y'all, I mean, I hope you're noticing, it wasn't just what someone knew that was causing the stir. You can have all the knowledge you want, but if you're not doing something with it, that's not causing a stir at all, because it's not causing a change. It's when the knowledge is applied by virtue. It's when you're exercising it, when you're putting into practice the way that you know, and it becomes the way fleshed out. That's when we make the difference. That's when the stir begins. It was that way that caused the stir. Something was taught, something was caught, something was walked, not just talked. Look at chapter 22. Look at chapter 22. Here again, Paul is giving his testimony. I heard someone say, man, I just, oh, man, if I could just have the open door to ask somebody about their salvation. Listen to me, please listen to me. Look here, look. If you, how many of you are born again? Just tell your story. Look for an opportunity to just tell somebody about what Jesus did for you, and it will open the door for you to then say, so have you received Jesus? If we're serious about that, you've always got the opportunity by witnessing. And Paul, he's always looking for a way to testify, always looking for an opportunity to testify, and here he is doing that very thing. And here's an excerpt from his testimony. It's chapter 22. Look at verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. They all knew he was talking some stuff, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, was zealous towards God, as ye are all to this day. He's like, hey, I know what it's like to be where you're at. And I persecuted what? Man, I did it all the way to death. I persecuted this way. And now, you know what he was saying? And now I'm part of this way. I love it. Look down, if you will, verse 14 of chapter 24. 14 of 24. Is that right? Here we go. Watch. Again, Paul is sharing his life story, this time before it would be Felix. And he says this, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my father. By the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hey, I'm worshiping the God of my fathers. He didn't deny his Jewishness. Look, he didn't lay up the fact that he was a Jewish rabbi to become a follower of the Lord. No, he's just a follower of the Lord who is a Jewish rabbi. And he said, he's identifying, he's using that to those people. He was used for the Gentiles, but don't kid yourself. He was used to expose those Jews. And he says, listen, the way which they call heresy, so worship I can find it over here now. He might have seen a little Christ revealed in the OT, you think? Watch now. Chapter 24, verse 22, a few verses down. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, and you see the conversation. He learned not just from knowledge. He learned not just knowledge about a religion, about a belief, about all the other things we could sit there and try to champion. He was gaining much more perfect knowledge about that way. And that way was convicting him. Are y'all with me? He was gaining much more perfect knowledge about that way. Well, in other words, in our dialect, it'd be, hey, what is up? What's up with that way? Y'all with me right there? I mean, you know anything about that way? Yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you what they're about. How did they know who they were about? By knowing what they were about. And can I say, I think that even causes this world a whole lot of confusion. They hear who we're supposedly about, and then they watch our way. Hello? All in. You heard the illustration. Blessings being that which cost us from going all in. They watch our way. And they wonder, really? Is that who you're about? Again, the conversation of them the conversation of their life had made it to the conversation of their mouth, had made it to the conversation of their walk, which then opened up the conversation for their talk to witness about the Lord. And here's what I'm trying to establish. In the early decades of what you and I refer to today as Christian faith, the word Christian was not just a word that was used commonly. It wasn't. I told you, you study history and you'll see it took decades for that word to catch on, especially in the way that we use it now, even after Antioch. In fact, did you know the word Christian appears only three times in the entire New Testament? Only three? There's nothing wrong with the word Christian. I'm honored to be tagged with it. I just want you to see that in those early decades of Christianity, quote unquote, born again believers like you and I were called followers of that way. And they molded people in that manner. There was a way. They molded them to be of that way. Not just knowledge here. It's why virtue, faith, virtue, knowledge. You boys know what I'm talking about. Look, it does no good to keep learning stuff if you're not making most of what you're learning, or all of what you're learning, I should say, your way. Until by virtue it's your way, why am I going to tell you something else? We don't have time. But if you take your Bible and you compare Scripture with Scripture about this thing of the way, you will not believe what the Lord will show you now that you've been exposed to this. If you trace it indeed through the OT, I mean, y'all, things will start popping up to you that maybe you've not noticed before, because over and over and over in Jewish life in the Old Testament, they were talking about the way of God. Let me give you just a few. Isaiah 40, I have it on the screen here. Watch now. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye what? The way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That was a prophecy that looked forward to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Prepare the way. Listen, every quote-unquote good Jewish person was trying to find the way, and they're waiting on that way. Psalm 1 and verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's a way to both, and they should never be confused. Right? I mean, I could talk about from Matthew the narrow way and the wide way and all the rest of that stuff, but are y'all getting it? How about this? On those two verses alone, and we're done, we'll just go to this one. Look, no wonder it was such an impactful statement. When Jesus stood and used, by the way, the phrase I am, because how many of you know back in Exodus that God said, I am that I am, and he stands up in John chapter 14 and verse 6, put it up there for me, brother. He says, look, I am. Oh, he didn't just say the truth, although he was, thy word is truth, and he was the word of God. He didn't just say, I am the life, though he was the life, he still is the life. If it is life, look, you are dead. You may be here today breathing, and you may have, as it would be, an earthly life, but you are dead in your trespasses and sins, just like I was when I was a 14-year-old boy before I called upon the name of the Lord. Lost. Jesus says, you want life? You want real life? I mean, life eternal, life abundant? Right here it is. In a person, it's me! But he didn't just say that. Look, them people, when they heard him say, I am the way, they had been looking for the way. Supposedly that's what the prophets had been talking about. And here's somebody going to stand up and say, the way. I mean, if he had a jersey, it would have said, the way, number one on it. I mean, y'all with me? He was the way. The way that had been talked about. The way that had been prophesied. And it wasn't, look, he was a person. And it was, hey, and hallelujah for the person that he was, because he wasn't just man. He was the God man. And that meant when he sacrificed himself on that cross, that meant that the man, Christ Jesus, was paying for our sin debt. Man had sinned. Man had to die and pay for that sin. Am I right about that? I am right about that. But this man, Christ Jesus, had a way about him that proved he was who he was. And all they had to do was take the word and compare it, and they should have known it. And you and I have a way about us. And all it should be is that somebody should be able to take the word and look upon us and it prove it. Are y'all with me right there? Disciple making. You know what it is? The making of a disciple? It's helping people find the way. Right? What do we commonly call people who are unsaved? We'll say they are lost. They're lost. Their life illustrates they're trying. They may not say it this way. I'm trying to find the way. But all the things they're reaching towards in life shows they are. And yet you and I, we know the way. And we can see them reaching for all these other things and not try. Hey, whoa. I found the way. And you, here's the good news. You can too. I'm going to show it to you, but just follow me. I promise if you follow me, I'll be leading you toward the way. Are y'all with me? We talk about, I led him to Christ one day. Nothing wrong with that. It's awesome to be able to sit on the other side of a Bible and go through it when somebody gets saved. Maybe you were there when they prayed. Ultimately, the Lord is the one who saves them. Y'all understand it had nothing to do with you. Though we do need to be equipped to be ready to give an answer to all men who ask of such. We need to be able to do that. We should be able to do that, and we can rejoice in that. But please never take glory over the fact that you won somebody to the Lord. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. I mean, hey, you were the tool in the box that got used for its purpose. But don't stop with just being used to point them to the way. For them to be introduced to the way, you were a tool that was supposed to then show them the way, grow them up in the way, send them out in the way, follow up as Paul did with Titus about the way, so that they can be used in that toolbox as well. We agree about that? The lost, people without God, are lost. If you're here today and you don't know, if you don't know the way, Pastor Mark couldn't have laid it out any better at the beginning of the message. Jesus was the way, made the way, paved the way, is the way. And if you would come to Jesus today, you will find the way. In fact, the way will move by His Spirit inside of you. And you'll have the way. You'll have the way. And God used you to help show others the same. But can I say to our church, often until people see the way in action, they aren't interested in giving an ear towards us telling them where it's found. Oh, I work with you, but you know what? My language sounds like your language. I tell you what, partner, I'm not so sure you know the way after all. Because is that the way of Jesus? Or is that just you being cool on the workplace so you can sound like everybody else? I thought we got over doing that when we were in the seventh grade. Did I just say that? I thought peer pressure. Are y'all hearing me? I thought we stopped trying to be like other people being cool in the sin. Well, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, whatever you. Are y'all with me? Why would I try to impress you when I live for the audience of one? You know, man, I saw how you reacted to that. Dude, you could have went off on them and you didn't. Boy, the flesh would have looked cool though, wouldn't it? Dude, man, you told them, man. Man, how is it that you were just, dude, if you'd have known my old way, bro, I'm controlled by a different one. And quite frankly, they did what they did because they're not of the same way I am. And I'll never have a way to show them the way if I act the way that they do. Are we together, church? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If ye have what? Love one towards another. Love, a way of the Lord, something none of us can really do apart from Him. But certainly that which was shown to us when He made a way. Am I right about that? I could go to 1 Corinthians. I won't. I can. You don't. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, so that the gospel is not hid to the lost. Yeah. Not doing those things that are not of the way, but surrendering, yielding to that which is. Hey, Pastor, what about the back end of that verse there where it's talking about this whole elder thing? What does that have to, what does that got to do with me? Well, I don't have time to develop it, but dude, let me tell you this. There are three words that are synonymous in the New Testament: elder, pastor, bishop. Functions different for the same thing. An elder speaks of a spiritual leader mature enough to oversee something that doesn't always have anything to do with age, but rather the maturity. Pastor certainly means a shepherd, speaks of the function of a spiritual leader, overseeing God's flock. Bishop is another word that just simply means overseer. It's someone who has or gives oversight to ministry. And I realize when you're reading that and it talks about the ordaining of such, ordaining elders, and there is such, and we will one day do that out. We will lay hands on people here at this church and send them out to start churches and to lead ministries and to do the rest of those things. And I want to make sure, though, that you don't leave it there when you hear that word or read that word ordained there. Listen, because we have a big ceremony about it, and it's a beautiful ceremony, and we'll have it. But I just want you to know, back then, they didn't have that big ceremony stuff. When they were talking about ordaining elders, it was to set up, it was to establish, it was to appoint. And what Paul is telling Titus here, it applies to all of us in this. He said, I want you to go out. I want you to find out what is lacking, and I want you to fill the void. I want you to set up. I want you to ordain, establish leaders for the purpose of them finding the void and for them showing the way so that that void can be filled. At that time, there were assemblies of believers all over that island there, scattered in various places, and they needed people to show them the way of God. And again, it's an example that just because you're saved doesn't mean that you don't need instruction now about how it is that we live His life. How does that apply to discipleship, Pastor? Because ministering in the Word is not relegated to just somebody who has had 8 years of Bible training. We'll have people who will have degrees from LFBI. We're going to recognize them here. We're going to rejoice over them. But listen, that's not the only people who are set out in motion. Listen, every link leader here, every discipler here, in their own way, they are pastors in their own right. They are overseeing in a positional way, in a very practical way. They are showing the way. They are leading the way. They are exampling the way. They are molding the way for and of one another's to be able to get involved the same way. And that's why when Paul said this here to Titus, he says at the very end there, as I had appointed thee. Hey, Titus, just as I did in your life, I found what was lacking in your life and filled that void, didn't I, boy? And I'm still doing it every day. You do the same, and you tell them that's how it's done. And hey, Titus, I ordained you to pour into others and teach them and show them where they lack and teach them the way of God. You just tell, look, just as I've done and am doing with you, Titus, you do with others. Are you with me? I close with this. I'm walking this way, so you know I'm closing with this. Matthew 28, throw it on the screen for me, brother. It's the Great Commission. Y'all know it? Go ye therefore and teach, elsewhere translated all those times, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Sentence is not done because there's a colon. Teaching them, not just by book, but teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, brother, you know, I don't know if you know or not, you know, but observe there could very much mean that they also need to put into practice. Thanks. I know that I took that word and I compared it and seen how the Lord translated it elsewhere in our King James Bible, and it's watch. Teach them to watch. Watch the way. May they be able to watch the things that I commanded you. Are you with me? And it teach them the way of God. of a disciple. Oh, Jesus says, and I'll be with you. I'll be with you always. Did we learn something this morning? The way of molding. The way of molding. I pray you'd be yielded to it. I pray you'd be a part of it. You won't have to wait till Wednesday night to be paired up with somebody again. If you'd like to, this church is about making disciples. We'd love to talk to you about that, pouring that into you, giving you some information so you can get equipped to pour into other people. Some of you could do that, and we need, hear me, we need. If I just want to be involved, this church needs some people who know how to disciple. Okay, we got some of us doing double, triple duty, trying to pour into. And if I'm going to let them pour into, they got to see more than just what's in here. If you've never been discipled, if you've never been grown up, if you've never been shown the way, and maybe you're just learning, hey, this is the place that's awesome. We care. We want you to grow up. Just see the way yourself. Be a part of it. It can happen. But when we go outside that door today, whatever activity you're about to get into, you're going to have an opportunity to display a way. A way to talk to the waitress. And maybe it's the Lord that allowed your steak to come a little done so you could display the way of grace to somebody who didn't even cook your stupid thing and you're fussing them out. Right? And then you're going to leave a trap. Please don't leave ours. Please don't leave ours. And if you don't tip, don't leave ours either. Don't. That said, for those who will, there's tracks on the table when you go out the door today. Are y'all hearing me? There'll be somebody. There'll be some text, some comment, some argument you could jump on Facebook. There's something. There's going to be something right out those doors to your own family on the way home, what you can talk about, the things you shouldn't, the attitude we have. Examine ourselves. Is my way his? And don't be the determiner of that. Remember, they could look at the word and say, well, you understand Jesus, he batted 1,000, man. He batted 1,000 with those Old Testament prophecies of who he would be and what he would do, all the way up to I thirst and yet not receiving that which was offered. They could watch the word, and they should, especially those who knew it, and some of them, look, they did. They should have, but he just wasn't, it wasn't the way they was looking for. But it was his way. May we examine ourselves constantly with the word. Allow ourselves. Open ourselves. In fact, can I just ask you, when's the last time you've stopped and your approach to the Bible, 52 weeks or whatever else, is not just to hurry up and get through something, be able to pat yourself on the back that you did the devo, but that every day you'd open that book. Open thou mine eyes, that I may see wondrous things out of the law, and that I might see any way of me that is not yours. Are y'all with me? You look at him eyeball to eyeball, and that word is the eyes of the Lord. We'll see it. The question is whether we'll do anything about what we see, whether we will yield to that. Would you be willing to sit before the Lord and say, God, will you show me where I'm lacking? And will you put somebody in my life to help feel that like Titus was speaking should be done? Will you point me to that person? Will you guide me to that person? I'm going to go to our pastors. I'm going to come to our church. Will you put that person in my life? If you're a discipling here and you got somebody in your life like that, whether it's here or outside of here, will you raise your hand real quick, all over the building, real quick? 1, 2, 3. You're a discipling here. Look, there are people who have found that. This month, right before I preach, we're going to start showing little clips of testimonies of other people in the body who are having some people help them along the way. And you're going to hear it. Sometimes you're going to see it. It's the way of the Lord. It needs to be the way of us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.